This is a Suzuki Omnicord. I got this one a few years ago at a thrift shop for $10. It's a charming electronic harp, an instrument that was created solely for the purposes of playing chords. As it happens, the Omnicord wasn't invented out of whole cloth. It's actually based on a whole series of instruments, going back at least as far as the early 19th century. We'll talk about that history in a little bit, but first, let's talk about the instrument itself. Playing it is insanely straightforward. You press a button, you strum your finger across the strum plate, and the chord rings out. As novelty synthesizers go, it really has a beautiful, warm sound. Playing these is really fun, and you find yourself coming up with chord progressions within seconds. This model, the OM84, has two voices. One has a nice tremolo effect on it, and the other is more of a standard synth voice. They sound really great together. There's also a chord mode that allows it to play solid chords, no strumming necessary. These are a lot like the kind of chord buttons that you might find on an accordion or an organ. There's also a second melody synth that sounds like this. And finally, there's a rhythm section that has its own retro charm to it. Obviously, the part that makes it really special are the strum strings. It's not just that it lets you play chords really easily, it's that it has this incredibly rich sound. The reason for that is that when you're strumming this instrument, it's actually playing 13 notes at the same time, and those 13 notes span 4 octaves. You can't do that on almost any other instrument, with one exception, which we'll see in a second. Which brings us to part 2 of this video, a brief history of chord machines. Throughout history, there have been many musical instruments that made use of plucked strings. What's being pictured here is an ancient Greek instrument called the cithra. For practical purposes, we're going to start our story in the mid-1800s with a related instrument called the zither. Now, when people say zither, which isn't something that happens very much, but when they do say it, they can mean one of two things. First, there was the concert zither. These had fretboards, and they could be quite expensive. And then there was the much simpler chord zither, which is what we care about. As you can see, it's a sort of tabletop harp that gets plucked with a pick, and it's really just a bunch of strings that are attached to a resonating chamber. In the mid-1800s, these were super popular. They were mass-produced in both Germany and the US, and as a result, you can now find them everywhere. I bought this one at a flea market in Philadelphia for $5. Sold in catalogs as well as door-to-door, they would always come with music cards that taught beginners how to play simple songs without having to read sheet music. Because of their many, many strings, these things all sound really, really cool, but they have one limitation. While you could play melodies on them just fine, there was no way to play chords. And chords were really preferable if you wanted to ever play along with somebody who was singing. By the way, the reason you can't play chords on these is because if you try to strum them, you'll invariably hit all of the strings, which sounds awful. On a side note, if you're ever scoring a horror film, I highly recommend getting your hands on one of these and just having at it, because these things are just a goldmine for creepy sounds. So there were all kinds of attempts to fix this problem. Some zithers had a special section, like banks of strings that were set aside and tuned to specific chords. You would find the section that's dedicated to the chord that you want to play, and you would strum only those strings. And it sounded pretty good. But there was usually only space for 3 or 4 chords on one instrument, so it wasn't a great solution. Then, in the early 1880s, a guy named Charles Zimmerman invented a thing called the autoharp. He made them in a little music shop right here in Philadelphia. Now, the autoharp that I'm showing you here was made by Oscar Schmidt in the 1970s, and it's somewhat more sophisticated than the one Zimmerman made in the 19th century, but the operative principle is exactly the same. Basically, it's just a zither, but there are these buttons, and the buttons are connected to felt strips, which have a specific pattern to them. Depending on which button you have pressed down, certain strings get dampened. So you press the button, you strum away, and only the strings that are part of the chord you want are allowed to ring out. It's really actually pretty cool. Eventually, Zimmerman couldn't keep up with the demand, so he licensed the rights to this idea to this guy named Alfred Dalge. Dulge was a felt manufacturer who set up a utopian town in upstate New York called Dulgeville. He's actually a really, really interesting character. If you want to know more about him, I actually made a podcast episode about him a few years back. Link below. So throughout the first half of the 20th century, auto harps and related instruments were mass-produced. There are dozens of variations on these ideas. Some involve a violin bow, others involve weird keyboards being attached. Generations of people got convinced to buy them, and most of them ended up shoved under beds or in attics or whatever. Which is why you can find these so-called fretless zither instruments just about everywhere. At some point in the early 70s, the auto harp became synonymous with country music, probably because of Dolly Parton. She's by far the most famous auto harp player. Anyway, finally, fast forward to the early 1980s, and Suzuki Instruments decided to translate the concept of the auto harp into an electronic instrument, which is where the Omnichord comes from. As we've seen, the functionality is really exactly the same as Zimmerman's auto harp. That being said, it solves two huge problems that the auto harp has. First, on the auto harp, you're limited to a certain number of chords. My model, for example, has 15 chords, and they always seem to be the wrong ones. The Omnichord OM84 has literally 84 chords to choose from, meaning you can really use it to play music in any key. Second, and this doesn't get talked about nearly enough, the auto harp works by dampening certain strings with felt. That way, when you strum it, certain strings don't ring out, but they still make a sound. Which means that the characteristic sound of the auto harp is only 25% melody strings ringing out and 75% this sort of scraping sound of the pick hitting dampened strings. Obviously, that's part of the charm of the auto harp. Because the Omnichord doesn't have any actual strings, there's no dampening taking place and thus no scraping sound, which I personally prefer. So anyway, the OM84 was just the start of my personal Omnichord adventure. After getting it and just really loving it, I found myself really wishing I could hook it up to other synthesizers. I ended up buying a later model, the OM250M, which has a MIDI output. Being able to control other synthesizers with a MIDI output is fantastic. Unfortunately, the built-in synthesizer on the OM250 just sounds much cheesier to me than the OM84, so I almost never use that. By the way, these aren't just a relic. Suzuki actually continued making these instruments. They eventually changed the name to Q-Chord. This is the official website of the Q-Chord. Obviously very dated looking. According to the timestamp, it was most recently revised in 2006. Unbelievably, they actually only stopped making these like 2 years ago. Also, about 10 years ago, a guy named Jason Hotchkiss invented something called Le Strum. It's a kit that you can buy, which obviously I immediately ordered and built. On its own, it doesn't actually make any sound. It's a little MIDI controller built onto a circuit board. Of course, in order to use a device like this, you need a sound source, and that sound source has to not only be polyphonic, but very, very polyphonic. You're going to be playing like 10 to 16 voices at the same time. For example, here I am controlling two decent sampler patches using it. Being able to control a synth other than the Omnichord with this kind of an interface feels like it opens up a whole world of possibilities. Yet another way that Zimmerman's auto harp lives on today. The Omnichord is a beloved niche instrument. Since its invention, it has fallen in and out of favor many times. And throughout that time, it's been used by a huge number of recording artists. It's also been featured on TV shows like Adventure Time and Flight of the Conchords. And lately, it's been enjoying a huge surge in popularity. In fact, there's been a massive price jump on vintage Omnichords in the past couple of years. Apparently, it's driven by viral TikTok videos that feature the instrument. So if you're thinking of purchasing one, my advice would be, wait a bit. They're very, very cool, but they're not worth $900. In the meantime, I've recorded a sample of the OM84's strum strings. Those very tasty samples are only available on the Patreon, so definitely consider becoming a patron. It's only $5 and you get a free sample at the end of each month. Also, if you haven't subscribed yet to this channel, now's a great time. I've got a bunch of videos on the way. See you soon!